And you don't have to turn with me, but I'm going to share with you a familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 tells us in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I love what that first verse says. There is therefore now no condemnation. And we could take a 5-minute recess, as Pastor Cal often says, and shout it out right there, knowing there is therefore now no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, by many Bible scholars, has been considered to be the greatest chapter in the greatest book in the Bible. It's been called the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden. It's been called the inner sanctuary within the cathedral of the Christian faith. It is my personal favorite chapter in the Bible, and Romans 8:28 is my personal favorite verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. It's a portrayal of what it means to really be a Christian. From the beginning when it says there is therefore no condemnation, to the very end when it says nothing shall separate me, I am thankful tonight for Romans chapter 8. For it's been in the darkness of night when I needed assurance. It's been in the darkness of night when I needed comfort. And I've turned to Romans chapter 8 and found my assurance of what I needed. And aren't you thankful tonight that Paul, when he wrote this, he knew what he was talking about. We always know it, and we study the Bible, and anytime we say the words wherefore or therefore, we have to find out why they're there for. And so we know that it's a continuation of what's happening at the end of chapter 7. And if you find and read chapter 7 verses 18 through 25, you'll find that Paul was struggling with his past. He was struggling with his past sins. In fact, in 1 Timothy, you'll find that he listed the sins that he had committed, so to speak. He said, "Timothy, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious." That means I was looking for trouble. "I was a chief among sinners." And he goes on to list these things. He said, "The things that I wanted to do, I wouldn't do," and so forth and so on. And he said, "But therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." He said, "Yeah, I used to be all those things, but thank God, because of the grace of Almighty God, I am not what I used to be. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." What did he say? He said basically that Jesus wiped the slate clean whenever he saved you by his grace. Now I'm going to try to illustrate that to you in just a little way that maybe we all can understand it better. How many of you by raised hand? Some of you, I see them in your hands tonight already. You're live streaming to your friends. How many of you have a smartphone? I'm not going to condemn you tonight. I've got one myself. Happens to be over there. But smartphones are wonderful. They're actually a lot smarter than we give them credit for. The computer power inside those phones, not too many decades ago, would fill up this entire room of the power that it would need. And so it's amazing what the technology is bringing, and you can use it for good or bad. So I'm not condemning it. I'm just trying to give you an illustration. When our smartphones get sick, and sometimes they're, in fact, there was a report that came out not too long ago, they are the most aggravating necessity in the world. And we rely on them. There are, a lot of information on that. And if something would happen and break down, it would cause us all to go into frenzy, as many of you probably already have when your phone crashes. But when there are problems with your phone, you can do one of three things. First of all, you can do what they call a soft reset, which is very simple. It's just simply turning your phone off and turning it back on. That will not get rid of any of your data, any of your saved material. It will not get rid of that. It will just simply reset your phone. Most of the time, that'll work. If not, they do what's called a hard reset. A hard reset, if you have an Apple phone like I do, you can hold the home button and the power button together for about 3 seconds. It restarts the phone. It does a little bit deeper cleaning out, but still doesn't get rid of your contacts, doesn't get rid of your memory. It just clears out some extra things, and most of the time that'll make it work. But if your phone still isn't working, if it isn't coming on, if there's something going wrong, you replace the cables and it still ain't working, you have to take it back or you have to do what's called a factory reset. Now this is a very serious thing because what that does is it erases everything off your phone and it restores it to be a completely new phone like you just got it from the store. So even though I still have an old phone on the outside, on the inside, I've got a brand new phone because I did a factory reset. You say, what does that have to do with me? I'm so glad you asked. That's a great question. Because Jesus Christ didn't do a soft reset with my soul. He didn't even do a hard reset. No, thank God He did a factory reset with His precious blood. And even though on the outside it's still the man, it's still flesh, thank God on the inside I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am completely new in Christ Jesus. So it's as if I've had never done anything wrong. It's as if I had never sinned. In fact, the word justified simply means just as if I had never sinned. And in fact, it goes on even deeper than that. When Jesus saves us, it's as if we never committed the sin in the first place. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. So what's Paul tell us here? 2 points really quickly. First of all, he tells us he broke the chains. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now we have to wonder what condemnation is. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation comes from the devil. Condemnation is sins that he brings up that we've already confessed. Sins that you've brought to an altar of prayer many years ago. Maybe some of you came from shady past. I don't know your past. It really doesn't matter. But when you come to an altar of prayer and you ask God to forgive you, they are forgotten by the blood of Christ. He forgets them. But Satan reminds you of that and tries to condemn you of what you used to be. That's condemnation. But conviction is different. Conviction comes from the Holy Ghost for sins that you have not yet committed. So there's the reason why Paul said there is no condemnation. Because if Satan condemns me over sin that I've already confessed to the Lord, I as a child of God can claim double jeopardy. That's my message tonight. Double jeopardy. I'm not talking about Alex Trebek. I'm not talking about a daily double. You know what double jeopardy is? Double jeopardy simply states that in a court of law, I cannot be tried again for something I've already been acquitted of. Hallelujah! So if Satan tries to bring up the sin of my past, I can say, double jeopardy. I can't be tried for what I've already been forgiven of. Aren't you thankful tonight for the blood of Christ that is so powerful that it cleanses us from all sin? I can claim double jeopardy. What God has forgiven, He has forgotten. So what's the problem? Why does Satan condemn us so much? Why do people fight? Why do people fight their past so often? It's because we can't forgive ourselves. Satan tries to get us to remember what we ought to forget and tries to get us to forget what we ought to remember. But may we never forget that God forgets every sin that we've ever committed when we come to Him and confess it. And there is no more condemnation. There's no more chains. He says there is therefore now. That means we can rejoice now. We don't have to wait to heaven to rejoice that our sins are forgiven. We can rejoice now. There's therefore now no condemnation. If you're saved, wave at me if you're saved tonight. Wave at me. Okay. That right now you can rejoice over the fact that what you've done before you were saved, God doesn't remember one bit. It is forgiven, forgotten, forever. Hallelujah. There's therefore now. He broke the chains and set us free from Satan's power. And so, when we come to Him and we die in Christ, that means the condemnation or the guilt has been removed. Condemnation simply is an estrangement or that we're lost from God. But Paul said it's not a threat to you. If you come to Him and you walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. It is. Nothing wrong with commentaries outside of the Bible. But the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And all the way back in Genesis, whenever Noah built an ark, he preached two things in 120 years. He preached rain and righteousness. 1 Peter tells us he preached righteousness, and we know he preached about the rain was coming. And he built the ark, and his message was simply this: get in. Get in. The way is prepared. Rain is coming. You need to be righteous in God. All you got to do is get in. And when he got in, God shut the door, didn't he? The Bible says in Peter that he was the eighth person to get in the ark. That means he was the last person to get into the ark. You know what I think he was doing, Bruce? I think he was yelling all to the people as he was walking up the plank to get in the boat. Come on in, get in. There's still time. The door's still open. Why don't you get in? And listen tonight, sinner friend. I know you battle with your past. I know Satan brings up what you used to be. But I'm so thankful tonight that if you just get in, the way's already been prepared. The ark has already been built. Thank God Jesus died on the cross, and it wasn't in vain. If it was just for you, he would have done it. All you got to do is just get in. And you can be free from the condemnation. He broke the chains, but secondly, he banned the curse. What was the curse? The curse was the penalty of sin. Verse 2 provides for us the explanation of the shouting in verse 1. And he talks about the law. For what the law could not do, and that was weaken the flesh. God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What was he saying? Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross gave us the means by which we can be free from the condemnation. Now notice, the law did not cease whenever Jesus died on the cross. No, he didn't come to condemn the law. What did he say? He came to fulfill the law. The law was still around, the law is still in place today. You just can't go out and do and be against it. Again, we say this a lot, but the Ten Commandments aren't suggestions. It's a good rules to live by, and we should live by them. But Jesus narrowed them down to two, didn't he? He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And when you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and you truly love him, you will keep his commandments. The Bible tells us that. But he didn't come to condemn the law. He just fulfilled it. He created a greater law. He superseded the law and created grace. You say, well, how does that work? Well, we have laws that are in place now that we can't get rid of, but we can intercede. We can do something to intervene on that behalf. And say, what are you talking about? I said, well, we all are here tonight. We're sitting down. We're standing. We're not floating in space. Why? Because of the law of gravity. The law of gravity says what goes up must come down. We all know that's true, and it's a law. But you know what? I can supersede that law. You can't? Oh, yeah. What goes up must come down, right? I just superseded that law because I caught it before it hit the ground. It's what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He didn't come to condemn the law that was set forth by Moses and by God on the mountain. He said, you know what I'm doing? I'm just going to make a greater law that says, by the grace of God, as long as you submit to me and love me and keep my commandments, bless God, you can be free from the curse of sin. The penalty of sin superseded that law. He didn't come to condemn it, but he came to fulfill it. And listen tonight, finally, as we finish up closely here shortly, we have to understand that we will mess up and we will sin. I told you the other night, I'm not perfect. We all make mistakes. In fact, I don't like to call them even mistakes. Sometimes we just flat out sin. We do. I know y'all don't like to think about that, but we do. We mess up. We miss the mark. But listen tonight, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. There are times I don't feel like I'm forgiven. I feel like Paul. I feel like sometimes I'm the chief of sinners. You say, Brian, why would you feel that way? Well, I've been raised in church my entire life. All I know is church. And I'm not saying, woe is me. I'm thankful for that. So if anybody should know the consequences of being disobedient to God, it should be me. 360 services my first year of life. Raised in a preacher's home. Knew right from wrong at an early age. Knew what heaven and hell was. Got saved at the age of 5. Now you say, Brian, have you always been perfect since that time? Psh, of course I have. There'll be one at the altar, it'll be me. No, I've sinned. I've messed up. Straight from God. And see, that's why I feel sometimes that I'm the chief of sinners. Because if anybody should have known better, it was me. And sometimes I don't feel Satan will just get up on my back and here comes the condemnation. Boy, you're worthless. You don't deserve to be preaching in front of people like that. You messed up that one time. You remember what you did in high school? You remember? Yeah, I remember. When your friends look at you that you haven't seen in 20 years, what do they remember? I know what they remember. You don't deserve that. How can you say that you know what people have gone through when you've never been what they've been through? Sometimes, can I just be honest? I don't feel like I'm saved. I'll let Satan whisper in my ear and I'll let him talk to me a little bit. But I'm soon reminded what Paul said there is therefore. Now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So, me making it to heaven and me being saved isn't predicated on how I feel. My feeling has nothing to do with it. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved, but I know I'm saved. Sometimes I don't even act like I'm saved, but I know I'm saved. Sometimes I don't always feel like I should, but bless God, I'm going to heaven not by my feeling. I'm going to heaven because there is therefore now no condemnation. Come on, Jeff, get ready to sing. You know why there's no condemnation? Because I'm covered by the blood. And in the courtroom of life, when I get to heaven and stand before the throne of God, Satan will accuse me of all my past regrets and past sins. And you know what? The judge will say, how do you plead? And I'll have to say, guilty. But then my advocate stands up and says, I like to produce exhibit B. He's got exhibit A, but let me produce exhibit B. And so he produces exhibit B. And he comes up and he says, what's exhibit B? He said, Father, you're looking at him. I'm exhibit B. You say, what does that have to do with anything, Brian? Oh, thank God, I'm so glad you asked. Satan brings up all my past sin and all of my regrets. But thank God when my advocate stands up, my Savior Jesus Christ, thank God when God looks at me, He has to see me through His Son. He sees me through the blood of His only Son. And thank God there is therefore now no condemnation. Everything that I've done in my past, thank God it's been forgiven, forgotten forever because of the blood. And I don't care what you've been through tonight. One drop of His precious blood can set you free. That's what Paul said. He said, I am free. Doesn't it feel good to be free? Doesn't it feel good to be able to lay your head down at night with peace in your heart? Knowing that if something would happen, you'd either wake up in glory or to wake up on earth being able to serve Him another day. If you're not free tonight, you can be.